Hello, and welcome to the Quantum Fit Podcast. I'm Taylor, and I am your host. This podcast is all about applying the different principles of quantum physics and quantum biology to your health and fitness. This gives us a holistic view of how different environmental factors, such as sunlight or cold, play a major role in your overall health. So I won't just be talking about diet or exercise and developing good habits. If you want to really make lasting changes in how you feel, think, and act, then I'd recommend you try to listen closely and have an open mind to what I have to say. Every day I'll be hitting you with a quick 7 to 15 minute long podcast. I keep it short like this because it makes it both informative and to the points so that you don't feel quite so overwhelmed with information. Also, currently I do not do any kind of advertisements. So instead, I ask that you share this podcast with a friend or family member if you enjoyed the message and gained something from it. I want to be able to spread quality and easy to understand content that everyone can take and use in their own daily lives. I would highly appreciate it. On to today's episode, water preparation methods. So I've been doing a deep dive into drinking water preparation. And, well, I gotta say, it has been one of the most time-consuming efforts I've done in the past couple months. There are so many damn factors when it comes to water, and in my opinion, all of them matter, pretty much equally. Other people have their own opinions. Some people think one way is better or another way is better, and I've had conversation with other people, a few different people over this, and everybody's opinions are totally different, so I thought I would actually spend the time to, again, do this really, really deep dive to try and understand everything that's going on. This also means that there's no one best way to prepare water. Realistically, you should pay attention to all of the factors equally. Also, I gotta mention that this episode is gonna sound pretty woo-woo. everything is based off of what I currently know about water, much of it coming from the fourth phase of water, a good amount from Jack Kruse as well. Of course, whatever else I'm able to find online, different articles through, different articles or looking through studies. And then, kind of trying to make sense of all of it and weed out the pseudoscience from the real science. Again, it's a big pain in the ass. It's a really difficult process because nobody fully understands the physics and quantum physics of water. I mean, even Gerald Pollack, who wrote The Fourth Phase of Water, he doesn't understand water at all. I mean, he made a lot of discoveries, and he understands water a lot better than most people probably do, but there's still so much that he doesn't understand on it. He'll admit no one knows what the hell's going on, really, when magnetism... no one really knows for sure how magnetism and water interact with each other. I mean, there's pretty good guesses as to what happens. I'll get into it, but no one knows exactly what's happening. But, whether what I'm talking about makes sense or not, you can find studies on benefits to all the different methods I'll be talking about. And, they'll definitely have effects in water. So, a lot of studies will show, it benefits. Well, a really good study that can be done is looking at crop yields, because, it's kind of hard to tell if water is, to just say it's more structured than another form. But if a certain water, makes plants grow faster, bigger, better, need less water, well, then it's going to help live, humans too, obviously. And generally speaking, it should mean that it is more structured because, if the plants are growing faster, growing bigger, they should be getting more energy in them because it takes more energy to do that. So if you're controlling all factors, then you're controlling all the variables and the only thing that changes is water, then, obviously the water is what's causing the benefits. All right, moving on. Movement of water is important for a lot of reasons. Think of, like water crashing over rocks, like a stream or something. That's like the most natural way. This not only oxygenates the water, but the theory goes that this breaks up large clusters of water molecules within water. So it's basically lots of little water molecules actually basically get jumbled up into just different size clusters. There could be a whole bunch of different size clusters within water. You can't see it, but they're all bunched together electromagnetically. That's how the theory goes anyway. And continuing with it, by making these large clusters smaller, it allows the water to be much more easily absorbed by cells. And again, I'm still studying the legitimacy of this, but so far it makes sense to me based on what I've read. And the most common method of introducing movement within drinking water is through creating vortexes, since that breaks up the clusters most easily. Based on what people have said, this is also supposed to give water a more velvety feel, but that might just be because of the oxygenation. Again, it's a tricky thing to dive into, and there's definitely a lot less studies on vortex and movement of water than there is the other factors. Sunlight's extremely important for all living beings, and it seems to hold mostly true for water as well. From the book, The Fourth Phase of Water, we know that all wavelengths of infrared light are superior in building EZ, or structured water, compared to any other forms of light. Putting water in a glass jar or even a copper jug, setting it in the sun is really, really good for adding more structured water. Cited within that book is some studies his Russian researcher friend, his name escapes me right now. He did some studies just at home, so didn't actually publish them or anything, with watering plants in his garden using this method. Having water in a glass jar, set it on the windowsill, let it soak up sun. The plants with sun-powered water had 30% greater yields, which is, pretty insane amounts, really. Moving on to the next one, we have magnetism. It structures water, and that is a surefire thing that we know, and it appears that it works in a couple different ways. And again, this is theory because no one knows exactly what's going on. So not only does it assist with building the EZ itself, that's a surefire thing, again, that it does allow us to build, allows the EZ to build out further. But magnetism also structures the bulk or free water that is not part of the EZ. So it works similarly, yet differently from the vortex trick I mentioned earlier. So rather than assisting with breaking apart large clusters of water molecules, it's able to organize the patterns of those clusters so that it isn't so chaotic. So it's kind of confusing. Think of those tables they send sound waves through, and they have the sand on it or whatever. Well, over time, those particles on the table move and they actually form specific shapes right on the table. It's physically altering the clusters themselves. It's just by ordering them, it's just ordering the particles. And so, again, that's what the theory said, or that's what most people theorize magnetism does with water, with the bulk water that isn't part of the EZ. It simply is organizing those big clusters. And again, I understand this stuff is hard to understand. Still wrestling with it myself. This is probably the most difficult material to try and learn besides quantum mechanics. So I probably have to tackle it again in the future, hopefully when there's more studies and more research out. But we still have a couple more things to cover. So, cold exposure would be, I would say, the last environmental way to structure water. As water gets colder, it slowly begins forming greater and greater amounts of EZ. until it eventually begins to freeze and become rigid in structure. We already know the benefits of cold are huge for humans. So we already know that cold water will provide benefits by cooling us, but the bonus EZ is a nice addition as well. Then there's also certain minerals will actually increase maximum EZ size. This one's pretty interesting, so pay attention. Copper, zinc, magnesium, and calcium are the ones most well known for this effect. Okay, what food do we know has lots of this and is in liquid naturally? Oysters. Oysters have huge amounts of copper, zinc, magnesium, and calcium. This is part of the reason why the water within oysters is extremely good for you. It's like drinking cellular battery juice. You know, it's super, super strong EZ in it. On the flip side, though, sodium and potassium chloride, or just, you know, the less fancy term, salt and potassium salt, actually reduce the potential EZ. So I had been putting in sea salt in my water, but I stopped after reading this. So instead, I'm just going to add minerals in, probably from Concentrace from now on. You can buy that on Amazon. I'll say it again, Concentrace. Should also be noted that fluoride and bromine also reduce EZ. However, they are far, far worse than salts are. Avoid them like the plague. All right, next up, I'm going to be doing an episode on choosing your water. You know, what water you should actually buy, or some tools you can get to make your own structured water. I just figured a good science-backed episode first would be, worthwhile to cover, so you can, at least kind of get a basic understanding of what's going on. Even though, again, the science isn't settled, no one really knows what the hell's going on, but these are the best guesses. If you have any questions or comments, find me on Instagram at RealQuantumFit, the Quantum Fit Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, Taylor Kelson, or you could send me a voice message across the Anchor app if you listen to me on there. See ya!